Stephen Vava, a Palocciana.
And look where it's of America. Now it's a tragedy. Now it's so sad to see an upper class city having this happening. Then attack Eminem cause I rap this way. But I'm glad cause they feed me the fuel that I need for the fire to burn. And it's burning and I just return. And I am whatever you say I am. If I was it, then why would I say I am? In the paper, the news, every day I am. Radio only can play my jam. Cause I am whatever you say I am. If I was it, then why would I say I am? In the paper, the news, every day I am. I don't know, it's just the way I am. I'm so sick and tired of being admired that I wish that I would just die or get fired and drop from my label. Let's stop with the fables. I'm not gonna be able to top how my name is. Pigeonholed into some poppy sensation that got me rotation at rock and roll stations. And I just do not got the patience to deal with these cocky Caucasians who think I'm some wigger who just tries to be black. Cause I talk with an accent and grab on my balls, so they always keep asking the same fucking question. What school did I go to? What hood I grew up in? The why, the who, what, when, the where, and the how. Till I'm grabbing my hair and I'm tearing it out. News they driving me crazy. I can't take it, I'm racing, I'm pacing. I stand and I sit, and I'm thankful for every fan that I get. But I can't take a shit in the bathroom without someone standing by it. No, I won't sign you autographs. You can call me an asshole, I'm glad. Cause I am whatever you say I am. If I wasn't, then why would I say I am? In the paper, the news, every day I am. Radio won't even play my jam. Cause I am whatever you say I am. If I wasn't, then why would I say I am? In the paper, the news, every day I am. I don't know, this is the way I am.
Tuesday, we were making love on Wednesday, and on Thursday and Friday and Saturday we chilled on Sunday. www.mp3utopia.co.uk. Because I'm a geezer, ain't I?
From Radio Intergalactic, and joining me now a guest who wants to tell something about a website that has been cut off by the police. I don't know much by myself, but I think we should make a news break especially for this. Can you tell us what has happened?
Yesterday afternoon the news was that the Italian website netstrike.org might be taken offline by the police, and this afternoon they have actually done this.
So, can you tell us a little bit about this website and about this group that is behind that website, so that we can get a picture of that?
The website contained mainly information on how to organize a netstrike, do more or less refreshing the same website over and over again. So eventually, if many people do this, the website would go down.
And since when is this webpage not available?
Somewhere this afternoon it was taken down by the police, Italian police.
And are there still rumors, or is this...
No, it is confirmed by the guy who runs the website. But because we've seen it coming, we have already made a mirror of it on a web asylum, which is based in the Netherlands. It's contrast.org, and it provides web space for websites which are threatened to be taken offline elsewhere in the world.
Actually, we are trying to set up some equipment here so that we can do a phone interview, but it's at the moment we don't have this equipment, so maybe someone who hears this and has a possibility to take a phone call into the radio stream can come to the radio tent quickly so that we can do a radio interview with a guy from Italian. Once again, if someone here hearing this has a possibility to make a normal audio signal from a phone call, come to the radio tent quickly. We want to do an interview with this Italian web guy with the group who was taken off by the police. So, as long are there any news from there?
No, not yet. At least I haven't heard anything yet. But if people want to find out why this group was taken offline, what exactly the content of the website was, the mirror is located at www.contrast.org/netstrike.
Okay, so long. Thank you. And I think now by the time we have come to the... it's short after 7... after 5 o'clock and... time for the news. These are the news at 5 o'clock on Radio Intergalactic, and at the moment they are starting a speech on stage number 3. The speech is SEMS, an open standard for secure SMS, with Rob Conscheid and Barry Wells and Rüdiger Weiss at stage number 3. Now starting on the workshop tent, there's a workshop Do-It-Yourself Linux Security with Kurt Seifert, Peter Butter and Thorsten Frank. And also there is the regular news. The first aid crew is asking the people to drink a lot and keep yourself dry and warm. Don't drink only coffee and stuff like this. We have a radio relay in Amsterdam. You can hear us in Amsterdam on the frequency 101.8 FM. It's a stream taken up by the Celto A1 radio station. More information can be found at media.live.nu. And we have some internet streams of our radio show on the net too. So it can be found at http://benix.campsite.hell2001.org on port 8000. And many other links can be found at www.spacestation5.org. So long for the news. Thank you, and we will go on with some music.
Radio V. You're listening to the Happiness Channel.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yes, hello, here's Ingo, and just at the moment I have a very interesting guest. Many of you will know Phil Zimmermann, the inventor, the programmer of the PGP software that many people use. Phil, hello. Welcome
hello.
To Space Station 5. Welcome to the hell. So, about 10 years ago, I think, you first wrote the PGP software, and a little bit you changed the world, I think. Your destination was that a few percent of the internet traffic will be scrambled. What is about this destination? So how many of your software has bred into?
Well, not very many people encrypt their email today, but everyone who does encrypt it uses PGP to encrypt it. There's very little non-PGP encrypted traffic. But the problem is we haven't penetrated very far in getting people to encrypt their email. Most people just don't encrypt their email at all, and I think that has a lot to do with ease of use. PGP was easier to use than anything else, but it still needs to be made easier.
Mm-hmm. So when you first wrote the software, it was the beginning of a long, 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 long and very interesting story what has happened to the software. Yourself got in trouble with the government, with the police. Maybe you can tell us by yourself about this history.
Well, after publishing PGP 10 years ago in June of 91, the government launched a criminal investigation that began at the beginning of 1993. I suspect it began earlier than that, but I found out about it at the beginning of 93. And it went on for 3 years until the beginning of 96. And during that time, they tried to put me in prison for publishing PGP. They regarded it as a military technology, as a munition, and should not be exported without permission from the government. The laws have since been changed. Not only did they drop the case against me, but later had to back away from that law because of pressure from the computer industry and public outcry against these kinds of controls. The export controls were developed in a bygone era when only the military used cryptography, before the internet came to into everyone's life. But now that we live in the information age, everyone needs to they use the internet for e-commerce and personal communications. So we all need cryptography. It isn't just the military anymore.
Yes, this things has changed. Not many years ago, I think, when were the laws reset by the government?
It was at the end of 1999 that the Clinton administration lifted the export controls. I think because a presidential election was coming up, and they knew that they had to carry California.
Mm. So I think... after the PGP software spread it around the world, sometimes with quite amazing method of exporting, it was printed on books and carried out of the states and was rewritten in other countries to export it, not as a data file instead of this as a book. For books, the laws are a little bit easier, you can say.
Yeah.
Quite interesting things and quite right things did go on with this piece of software. What's the status of PGP today? So in the former time you wrote it by yourself and spread it by yourself, and after that you went you had a company founded who does this, and so what about this way of these companies, and how was this going on?
Well, after starting a company, a company has to make money, and so this led to the program becoming much larger and more complex to meet the needs of corporate customers, it became less of a funky little political tool and more of a corporate tool. It still has the same strong cryptography it always had, but it's less it's not as politically interesting today as it once was. Hmm. Now there are other companies developing similar products that use the same protocol. There's about a dozen companies now that are developing products that are built around the same protocol.
Yes, the protocol. I think PGP was the first product to use the Web of Trust model to sign the keys each other.
Yeah, the trust model for PGP was one of the most important political characteristics it had. Not only did it have strong cryptography, but it also democratized the certification of keys. Other public key algorithms or public key encryption products relied on central authorities to digitally certify, to sign public keys. This tends to concentrate political power in ways that I think is harmful to the democratic use of cryptography. PGP circumvented that by allowing anyone to sign anyone else's key. And that was really a kind of a cornerstone of PGP's design, and it still is part of the design today.
Yeah, still today, when you look up into the companies, many companies use this hierarchic model of key signing. With one special group with very much power who can sign keys, and the others cannot do. There's still some work to do to spread this model of Web of Trust, I think. It's quite a suspect to many companies, I think, because they are mostly hierarchic.
Yeah.
Most companies
like to try to centralize the control of their use of cryptography. It sort of reminds me of that song by Tears for Fears. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Yeah, maybe. So now you're here in Europe at the Hell. Do you think that there are still some? What do you think are the main difference between the European and the U.S. Scene in this case? People.
Well, I like the atmosphere here. This is like Woodstock for hackers.
Yeah, but in the U.S. you have the DEF CON and the
that's true.
Hope in New York and in Las Vegas.
But, you know, this conference is more organized than DEF CON. I went to one of the DEF CONs, and it was quite anarchistic. It many things seemed so disorganized they barely worked. Here, there's much more organization.
Mm-hmm. Here in Europe,
that's the trouble with having a conference organized by anarchists.
Maybe, but I hope that it's not too organized here, since then we wouldn't get the chance to do all the things we want to do.
Yeah.
As you might have heard before, just before you, we had an interview with people who know some groups from Italian. Whose website was taken out by the police. So this the same problems they had. Maybe you have heard the interview?
No, I didn't. The problem when you're traveling is that you're cut off from news quite a bit. I don't get enough exposure to news sources, so I don't know anything about this incident.
Yeah, we will try to make a radio interview with our phone later on, but we still don't have the technique. The ASCII group is trying to build up some. We will see. Do you think that cryptography cannot really do something about putting websites out of the net? But looking into the future, many people trying to spread information to more than one host with cryptographic protocols, so to take care that no one has the power to just switch off a website, so as in this case the police had did to the Italian group. Do you think that there in the future will be more products like this to keep
the government or the police or other powerful organization from doing this?
Well, I don't know the specifics of the case that you're referring to, but I do know that cryptography serves as a kind of a great equalizer that gives more power to ordinary individuals. They can use it to not only protect their communications, but also protect their communications from interception, but also use it to deliver information authenticated, to make sure that it gets through, to prevent penetration of their systems and compromising their websites. If you have the proper protocols that are cryptographically enforced, access protocols such as VPNs. Mm-hmm. For example, if you have an open BSD server running a website that you're not allowed to log in except through a VPN, you're probably better off than if you're running on a Windows server that, you know, seems to be a frequent target of hacking.
So long, Phil Zimmerman. Thank you.
Before we go, yeah. There is one thing I'd like to say. You have a German audience, and I get a lot of email from Germany, and so I wanted to say something to our German listeners.
Yeah, sure.
About PGP.
Yeah, sure.
I get a lot of email from Germany asking about backdoors in PGP.
Mm.
And while I don't really know too much about what's happening right now in the development of PGP since I left Network Associates in January, I can tell you that over the years, there have never been any backdoors in PGP while I was there. I would never allow such a thing to happen. It doesn't matter that Network Associates was a large company. It doesn't matter that my company was a company that, is a money-making organization. None of those things matter. What really matters is that the engineers who do the development work would never allow any backdoors to be put in, because these engineers are the people that I hired when I started the company.
So you still trust in the engineers?
I still trust the engineers that worked for me when I had my own engineering team. And while I'm not at Network Associates anymore, I would be very surprised if they put a backdoor in. I can see no economic reason for them to do it. But while I can't be so confident of everything that happens in the future at Network Associates because I'm not there anymore, I just want to kind of retroactively address the thousands of pieces of email that have been sent to me over the years about backdoors. All of those paranoid fantasies are wrong. We never had any backdoors in PGP. People have written to me, especially German people. For some reason, I get a lot of mail from Germany, not other countries. No other European countries have people writing to me with this question. Only from Germany. People ask me, the government must have a way of breaking PGP now because they dropped the criminal case against you. They would not have dropped the case if they could not break PGP. You must have put a backdoor in order to get them to drop the case against you. Or they say, when you started a company, then your company probably put a backdoor in PGP. Or when you sold the company to Network Associates, then they probably put a backdoor in PGP. All of these are paranoid fantasies. We never put a backdoor in PGP. And so I can say that up until the time that I left Network Associates.
In January.
In January, yeah.
Okay, so when you started the project, it was an open source project. One of the first very successful open source project was
which made right. Publishing a very source code
loud,
is
loud reaction in the public.
That's right. In fact, that was one of the main reasons why the government was angry about PGP, was that the source code was published. It showed everybody how to do strong cryptography, and I can't emphasize enough the importance of publishing source code. Network Associates decided recently, at the end of last year, that they would no longer publish source code, and they haven't published the source code since I left the company.
Okay, so I just want to interrupt for a short time. I've heard that the Italian web team, the Italian that are put it off by the net, are in the neighbor tent here. I just want to ask my colleague, Is this right? Where are they in the moment?
Yeah, I just heard that they are next door. So
in person or on the phone?
Yeah, in person. So let's go over there and ask them for an interview.
Yes, can you just go over and ask them to come here, please?
Yeah, okay.
We can get over. We have not cables that are long enough. But okay, so stay tuned to Space Station 5. We will have some very interesting interview now. But at first of all, we will go on with the interview with Phil Zimmermann. Sorry, Phil, for interrupting.
It's okay.
Very chaotic in the moment. But,
sure.
We are...
This is a chaotic environment. It's appropriate.
This is a chaotic environment, and we are the most people here are from the Chaos Computer Club.
That's
so
right. So chaos is the word of the day.
Yes, I think so. So where did we stop?
We were talking about publishing source code.
About the open source.
It's important to get people to trust the product by allowing peer review of the source code. That's why I published source code 10 years ago with PGP and continued to ensure that source code was published for the past 10 years. When Network Associates decided that they would no longer publish source code to PGP, this was something I protested vigorously. I think that they undermine public trust in the product.
But I think especially the PGP movement, I think I can call it PGP movement, when you look into the public... many people now say don't trust security by obscurity. I think this is a big thing that is done by the PGP software as well, a little bit.
Yeah, we don't. PGP has very little design components that are security by obscurity. PGP is almost entirely designed on security by cryptographic protocols, the quality of the algorithms and the protocols. And the fact that everybody can review the source code up until version 6.5.8, I believe, was the last version that they published the source code.
Hmm. At the moment, it's not a public source code anymore.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Now, the last version that they produced while I worked there was version 7.0.3. Hmm. That's the version that I have here on my laptop. I use a Macintosh.
So you self don't use the newer versions of PGP?
Well, they just came out with a new version, 7.1, and I don't have that one yet. I haven't decided whether or not I should use it. But I probably will use it, but I got to take a look at it first, and maybe I got to go talk to the engineers who worked on it.
Okay. So.
But I do trust version 7.0.3. Even though they didn't publish the source code for that particular version, I was there while they were working on it, and so I know that there's no back doors. That's not as convincing as allowing people to examine the source code, but I can tell you that from my own direct experience of being there during its development, that version 7.0.3 was safe. I actually believe that it's likely that 7.1 is also safe, but I wasn't there, so I can't be quite as sure of that as I can for previous versions.
Okay, so then there's a question, what will the next version be, and will you trust them still, the versions in the future?
I am likely to start using version 7.1 mm-hmm. when I get my hands on it.
So even for the next versions that are still coming up?
You know, I can't really be sure of anything in the future. I know what I know from my own observation. And I'm confident that version 7.0.3 has no back doors. And I would think it very unlikely that 7.1 has any back doors.
Okay.
I can see no reason why the company would put a back door in the product.
As you said, you trust your engineers there.
Yeah, the same engineers are still there. There has been some attrition of the engineers as time goes on. Some have left the company, but... there's still some key engineers that work on it that I still
okay, since
trust.
You left your company, so what are you doing now since January, and what will you do? What are your personal
Well, there's
plans?
A couple of things. One of them is I'm trying to help other companies develop software that uses the same protocol, the OpenPGP protocol, And I have a website called openpgp.org.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to openpgp.org, you can see all the companies that have products that interoperate with the OpenPGP protocol. There's about 12 companies on the website now, and I think soon there will be several more added. I also am working on a secure telephone written in Java. Several years ago, I implemented a product called PGP Phone, which is a secure phone written in C.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I didn't own that intellectual property later when I assigned all my intellectual property to the company that I started. And now that's owned by Network Associates, and they're not interested in the product, and so it's an orphan product. It'll never be developed or marketed.
So it's just lying there, broken down. And
it's lying there.
Nobody
cares. It's neglected. So I decided to start a new project. It's the same product again, except this time we're doing it in Java. It's just like PGP Phone in every respect, except that we use slightly better encryption algorithms because it has been 5 years since we did the other one. And I need help. If any of your listeners are Java programmers, please contact me. Go to my website, philzimmerman.com. Zimmerman is spelled the German way,
yeah,
with two N's.
In German, you say you would say Phil Zimmerman.
Zimmerman, yeah.
Zimmerman with people who
with two N's at the end of Zimmerman.
Yeah.
If you spell it wrong, if you spell it with one N, you'll get the wrong website, because there's another philzimmerman.com with only one N at the end. Don't go to that one. Go to philzimmerman.com with two N's, and you'll see all the contact information for me, my email address and my phone number and everything else. If you contact me, if you want to help, if you're a Java programmer, I need your help to volunteer help to get this new secure telephone finished.
So you're still on open source project again. Again, open source.
That's what I hope to do with this project, but I also want to try to find a way to commercialize it. So I have to find some way that serves both interests.
Okay, of course. So you mentioned before the word intellectual property. There's a very big discussion going on in Europe, also in America, about intellectual property.
Yes. In the past 10 years, the United States has gone on an intellectual property binge. They've gone crazy with intellectual property. The use of patents in the United States to cover all manner of intellectual property claims, including such outrageous things as business models. They actually have the ability to patent business models now in the United States. I just can't imagine who could have thought of such a ridiculous idea as patenting business models. But one of the most notable examples of intellectual property craziness in the United States is the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which is the crux of the case that we now see in the United States with this Russian programmer that was recently arrested.
Yes, Dmitry. Case of Dmitry at the DEF CON.
Yes.
So maybe some people still don't know. There was a case that on the DEF CON, Dmitry held a speech about a product he developed.
Yes, he developed a product that exploited weaknesses in the digital rights management system that was developed by Adobe.
So for e-books,
right. And the techniques that they were using for their digital rights management was quite weak. And he exposed these weaknesses with some program that would instantly break these this digital rights management scheme. I think that companies that develop these weak systems should be grateful to have the weaknesses in their protocols exposed so that they can be fixed and improved. Instead, he was arrested.
In this case, yeah, he was arrested. Adobe told the police this and this is going on, and the FBI came out and arrested him at the hotel near the DEF CON right after his speech.
Yes, well, Adobe has since changed their mind and has come out against
After several protests all around Europe and the U.S.
I would be very interested in finding out exactly what role Adobe had in the decision to have him arrested, because I just can't believe they could be so short-sighted as to have to try to use a criminal prosecution for something like this. It would be against their interest, I think, to allow a criminal prosecution for something like this. It's very bad public relations. It would be a colossally bad decision if they had ordered his arrest or asked for his arrest. If it was something the FBI did on their own, then that seems more plausible. But maybe it was just some bad decision on Adobe's part if that's what they asked for.
If you look now at their webpage, they are saying they have stopped suing him. They don't sue him anymore.
Yeah, I think they should contribute to his defense. It's going to take money and effort and time to defend against this prosecution. I think Adobe should put money in his toward his defense.
But still, Dimitri is not really free. He's set on the... How do you say this in English?
He's out on bail.
He's out on bail, so he had paid money to get out of prison and is not allowed to leave for the state of California.
Yeah.
He can't get home. So you can't really say that he's free.
No, he's not free. I know exactly how he feels.
He's waiting on his...
He has to wait for trial.
For his trial. Right.
Yeah, and that's a terrible feeling. It's criminal prosecution is a blunt instrument for trying to use to decide complex public policy issues. The problems of intellectual property and digital rights management is something that is something that should be decided by legislative reform, by public policy debate in the public, by having the press having an open public discussion about it, and it should be, and if it has to be decided by the judicial system at all, it should be in the form of civil litigation, not a criminal prosecution.
Sorry, we have right now some problems with our microphones. There's a noise on this. Can you take this one here? Or both, I think. Take both. Sorry.
Did it lose any of what I just said?
I don't know, actually. Here's another microphone. Take this one.
How many? So? We got three microphones here. All right, I'll hold all three of them and hope that one of them works.
Lauter. So maybe it's working now again with this one?
Okay.
Okay, it's working again. I don't know what was wrong.
I think the digital... let me know when everything works.
It's working.
Okay.
Sorry.
I think the Digital Millennium Copyright Act is a bad law. But even if you were to grant that it was a good law, which I don't think it is, that doesn't mean that somebody should be arrested and put in prison for it. In the worst case... it should be decided by civil litigation. Nobody goes to prison in civil litigation. I don't even think it should be a point of civil litigation because I think the law is bad. It should be revised. It doesn't allow fair use of copyrighted material. And also the notion of punishing people who develop tools to expose the weaknesses of digital rights management systems, I think casts the net too wide and gets people that are further and further away from what would be the crime. If the crime is copying copyrighted material, then only those people that do the copying should be prosecuted, if anybody should be prosecuted at all. It's not clear that anybody should go to prison for this, but certainly removing the targeting of the prosecution away from people that do the copying and more toward the people who develop the tools that expose the weaknesses of digital rights management schemes is casting the net too wide. And that doesn't sound like justice to me.
So do you think that there's a chance that this law will be taken back by the government when you go to...
Unfortunately, these things, once you release the dogs of war, it takes on a life of its own. I don't know if Adobe requested this arrest, but if they did, once they turned the dogs of war loose, once the government began its own pursuit of the case, it's difficult to turn that off by simply saying, oh, well, we don't want to do it anymore.
And not only in this case, I'm just taking back the whole law. You don't see any chances that this will happen?
Well,
so do
you know,
we have to live
I
this?
Think there's more awareness now than there was a month ago about how bad this law is. I think that as this case develops, it's going to increase public awareness of how misguided this law is. The Digital Millennium Copyright Act does not recognize the realities of the Internet.
Okay, so long. Thank you for the interview, Phil Zimmermann. So
thank
at
you.
Least where will you be found? I said you said it before, but if people want to meet you here on the campsite of the hell, where should they go to meet you?
Well, they can certainly meet me while I'm still here. I'm going to be here until I give my talk tomorrow afternoon. I talk in the morning and in the afternoon. I finish my talk at 5:30 and then I have to leave soon after that.
Okay, so and in which area are you most around, or are you on the whole area going around?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
Over in that tent over there.
So in the main tent.
Yeah. You know, I think Rop, the one of the prime organizers of this, he has my GSM mobile phone number. So
okay. So
somebody could always go ask him to contact me.
Okay. So long, Phil Zimmermann. Very much thank you, and we will go on with some music now. We'll be right back.
macht, ob wir mit einander sprechen oder nicht.
You are listening to Radio Space Station 5, and we will come up soon with an interview with the Italian people whose website was shut down by the police. At the moment they are at the ESCII tent, and will be come here as soon as they have more information about their case. And we were also trying to make a telephone interview with the people in Italian, but we still have to plug in the technique, but I hope this will work soon. So you are listening to Space Station 5. So we are called the Happiness Channel, but they are going on some very unhappy things. With me are the people from NetStrike, or one people from the NetStrike. So sorry, I don't know your name, but
My nickname is Bomboklat.
Bongoplat.
Bomboklat.
Bongoplat. So maybe you can tell us what is going on. So who is NetStrike? Many people won't know, and what has happened?
What has happened is that a site which was talking about a new practice of free speech on the net has been closed. It has been closed down after the NetStrike that has happened against G8. In fact, the police of Genoa is the one that has asked to obscure the site. And this website just describes how to practice NetStrike. Let's go through this question. NetStrike is just to point one address, one internet address, for example, Microsoft.com, and tell all the people to walk across the website, just like it would do on a street demonstration, to walk through the website asking for the pages of the website, asking to the search engines of the website for queries, in order to occupy the whole band the website has got. In order to make, so it's a kind of denial of service, but not made by one person who says, I want to shut you down, but it's a thousand of people that going across the website, in fact, stop the website for the time of the demonstration. Just like what happens in the streets when you cross the street with a demonstration of thousands of people, for that hours the streets are closed, and all the newspapers tell what it's all about, why the streets are closed for that time.
So do you think that this is really a denial of service attack somehow by the police, or do you...
No.
But there were rumors going around that your website is closed by the police.
Our website this afternoon has been closed down by the police.
Yeah.
Because they arrived in Bologna because of the police of Genoa, and they said put down the website. We have already mirrored it, so you can still see it, but it's at the moment it's no more in Italy. The website is in Austria, so you can still find it out. And because we heard about it, because in Italy in the last month they were starting a campaign on the media about this practice, put it in a bad view, this practice, you know, starting to say it's stuff for hackers doing denial of services, they are criminals, when instead the NetStrike has nothing to share with the denial of service, as you can think, because it's just people walking through a website, asking for an index page thousands of times. So in this way you occupy the whole band, and they are trying to put down this website because it describes how to organize a website, how to organize a campaign of in order to let the people demonstrate even on the net instead of be just consumers on the net, you know, to get the people involved of freedom of speech even on the net, just finding new forms. I don't like what Nestle does. I go on the website of Nestle and I stop it.
So these forms of net demonstrations, it's a relatively there hasn't been much denial of service demonstration, if you want to call it so. In Germany there was a case a few months ago that people were demonstrating against Lufthansa, the airline.
Yeah. Lufthansa we airline. Did the announcement even on our website about Lufthansa.
But unfortunately in this case nothing has happened. The Lufthansa service was still available. But more interesting were the things that were going on before this event. So there were many discussions about the case of net demonstrations within Germany. Even there were some laws on this case saying that you don't have the right, I'm talking in this case of mm-hmm. German people, you don't have the right to make a demonstration in the net and in this case for the demonstration shut down another website with a denial of service attack or however. There are many possibilities. So you are not allowed to it. And this discussion is still going on. So in the real life you can every time go to a company and you said it block the entrance, something
for
like
example,
this and this is legal, this is tolerated by the government, you have a right to do this, and in the net you don't. And now we have the case that your web page is putting down by the police in Italian. I think most people won't know much about the situation in Italian. What is the discussion going on there in the public?
Well, in Italy this practice is practiced since 5 or 6 years, but it's since a couple of years that is quite known in Italy. So the debate about this practice is just starting in Italy in these last years. And I must say that for us there is no illegal fact when you just ask for a website. If I just write down the domain name in my browser and I ask for the page, there's no illegal fact. So if it's thousands of people, we say it's your problem. You know, these thousands of people is coming to tell you something instead of reading your news this day. And the police in these last months, since the change of the government, has shown how is their practice when you start to demonstrate. You have seen it in Genoa, you have seen it, we are talking about these things even now for just a website. But
sorry, go on.
In Italy it's still considered as a legal practice by the people, you know, because you just express yourself, your disappointment for a certain time on a certain website in order to let your point of view be seen just once. When the corporates have the whole day and all the medias normally, so we consider it legal. In our law, there's no law talking about this practice as something illegal. They are trying now to put this new wall to the freedom of speech, you know.
So there are not yet there are. Until now there aren't any laws, but there will be in the next future.
It seems in practice, because there's no reason why by the legal by the laws we've got in Italy to say you have to put down a site like netstrike.it. So they are just making the practice before making the laws about it. They're already saying you cannot put this stuff on the net, you cannot tell the people how to demonstrate on the net, you don't have to show this chance on the net, you don't have to. And there's still not any law talking about this. That's very dangerous to me.
So your group Nets Strike has been very active to this. Did you have any problems with the government or the police before?
In the past, it has happened that not the webmasters or the website has been attacked, but the people who made the net strike has got some visit by police in order to intimidate to the practice, you know, in order to tell them, look, that this time you've done something that is not illegal, but we don't like it. Probably you have done something you shouldn't. Maybe you have tried with some DOS tool to make it. Now, you know, in order to put the person under pressure, to say we want your PC, we want to take it out of your home. These kind of things have happened in the past.
Okay.
This is the first time they attack straight the website.
Okay, so long. Thank you for the interview. So
thank you very much.
First overview. We have to switch now over to the ASCII group, who want to do a program now. In this case, we will just switch over. Are we ready to switch over? Sorry, we are going to make some music and switch over soon. We have done a terrible mistake. We left the microphone open, but never mind. So sorry we left the microphone open, but this can happen. So you can hear us in our typical chaotic measure. A quick announcement when the microphone is open. At this time there should be dinner in the main tent. Just go over if you are hungry. And second announcement, the ST group, who are planning to do a radio show right now, have still some small problems with their stream. But in approximately 5 minutes they will come here and say us it's all working, and then we will switch over for their show. So until then, we will go on with music.
Streaming over at the ST tent, and we're trying to get the stream up.
Thank you. So we're experiencing serious chaos plasma here right now at our mixer. We have the stream of the ASCII crew, but we don't have right now, so we're trying to get it again.
I'm happy, I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long, the future is coming on. I'm happy, I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long, the future is coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on.
Finally, someone let me out of my cage. Now, time for me is nothing, cause I'm counting no A's. Nah, I couldn't be there. Nah, you shouldn't be scared. I'm good at repairs, and I'm under each snare. Intangible, bet you didn't think, so I command you to panoramic view. Look, I'll make it all manageable. Pick and choose, sit and lose, all you different crews. Chicks and dudes, who you think is really kicking tunes. Picture you getting down in a prison tube, like you lit the fuse. You think it's fictional, mystical, maybe. Spiritual hero who appears in you to clear your view when you're too crazy. Lifeless to those, the definition for what life is. Priceless to you because I put you on the high shit. You like it? Gun smoke, you're righteous with one talk. You're psychic among no possess you with one go.
I'm happy, I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, not for long, the future is coming on. I'm happy, I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long, the future is coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on.
The essence of basics, without did you make it? Allow me to make this childlike in nature. Rhythm, you have it or you don't, that's a fallacy, I'm in them. Every sprouting tree, every child of peace, every cloud and sea. You see with your eyes, I see destruction and demise. Corruption in the skies, from this fucking enterprise. Now I'm sucked into your lives through rust, so not as muscles, but percussion to provide. For me as a guide, y'all can see me now cause you don't see with your eye. You perceive with your mind, that's the inner. So I'ma stick around with rust and be a mentor. Bust a few rhymes so motherfuckers remember what the thought is. I brought all this so you could survive when law is lawless.
Right,
feeling sensations that you thought was dead. No squealing, remember that it's all in your head.
I ain't happy, I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, not for long, the future is coming on. I ain't happy, I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, not for long, my future is coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on. My future is coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on. My future is coming on.
Okay, here's now, right now, the ASCII News Hour, and we're switching over to the ASCII News Hour with their content.
Listeners, this is the ASCII Radio News Hour. We usually broadcast every Friday from 6 to 7 on the local radio station in Amsterdam called Radio 100. They broadcast on a frequency 99.3 megahertz. Today we don't, because we're live at the hall. We were hoping to stream our signal to Amsterdam, but first we do this net forecast. All the cabling in the whole camp seems to be down, including ours, which is not so very nice. I will try and put the audio signal on an analog wire. So we just continue this 1 hour of news. We have some guests coming up, as usual. Two of them are sitting at this table, and I would like to ask you, who are you and what do you work for?
We are two activists in Italy. My nickname is Bomboclat.
My nickname is Ciccio.
Hello.
Hello. And we are here to tell you about our website, which shows a new practice of demonstrating on the net, which has been closed up today by the policemen. Because the last net strike is a practice born 5 or 6 years ago in Italy, which just instead of doing a DOS, a denial of service made with a tool, our wish was we want thousands of people to demonstrate in order to make what one tool can do, because we want to show the corporations it's the people who want to say stop and in that kind of situation, you know.
So if I understand the concept right, you say, okay, today there is a demonstration against, well, for example, Lufthansa, which has been one of the last
It has been
victims.
Hosted on our website, that protest, because we stand it for that net strike.
So, and you tell everybody on the internet, please go and request their homepage, is this correct?
Yeah, request their homepage, make queries on their search engines of the websites, visit the website in order to fill up the whole band for the time of the demonstration. So you will have the result of a DOS, but it's the people who makes the DOS, not a tool. So they have to take big care, because it's the people, not the...
And it's also far more difficult to block off, I understand, because the requests are coming from tens of thousands of different IPs.
Yes.
Let's do some like old style street statistics. Yeah. How many people do you reckon have demonstrated in front of the virtual Lufthansa offices?
Yeah, that's it. In fact, the main idea is not to the concept is to block the website, but the most important thing is not to block it really. It's important to bring people to participate in the NetStrike itself. And the website, netstrike.it, that was closed by police today, was the website we used to call the people to our NetStrikes.
Well, how many people do you reckon come to such an action? I mean, if you take the Lufthansa action. Do you have any statistics on this?
When you see the statistics of the hits of the website, you don't know really how many people were, because the people asked thousands of times for the website. So normally we can think of 1,000 people or something, you know, like in the demonstrations on the streets when it's a squad to organize it. But you know, it's the people coming from all over Italy when it's an Italian net strike, or people coming from all over Europe or the world when it's Genoa.
The practice of a net strike also uses the IRC to coordinate each people and to understand where the website is visible or where not.
By looking at the deportation class websites the last time, I saw that there was a little tool involved. Can you give a little overview on how this more or less works?
A little tool, you mean the wget with the option --, netstrike? Well, it's just to make a particular query to the website in order to mirror the whole website and to put it in dev null.
So just to understand, I'll repeat this. Wget is a famous Unix Linux tool that allows you to not only download one URL, but makes Wget follow all the URLs that you will find on the page. And, well, it has a number of options. Read the fucking manual and try it out.
Yeah, some friends of us, Bleacher and Megabug, modified the program to make it possible to automatize the mirror of the site, the requesting of the site, instead of saving it on the hard disk. It puts on it all on dev null automatically, so it's just a little bit modified, but it is still legal. And the most important thing is that NetStrike is legal, since it doesn't use tools for denial of services. It is not considered illegal in Italy.
So, in other words, if you would, for example, use, let's say, a little program that runs a denial of service attack and distribute this on the net, this would be illegal already.
Yes,
but yeah, it would be illegal because these kind of tools are illegal already. You know, when you use a Trino or something, it's illegal. But when you demonstrate on the street, you choose to go to the street in a pacific way. But if the single person chooses to use something different, it's his choice. I respect him. It's not me telling him do this. If he wants, it's because he's very angry with them. So it's the person who chooses to practice with some tools or nothing.
So to say it in street terms, NetStrike is a big Pacific demonstration, and using your private only denial of service attack is the famous Molotov cocktail in the window of your favorite bank.
Yeah, it's number of requests that blocks the remote machine and stops the web server to work, or fools the bandwidth, making it not possible to see the website itself. And
so if we still look, the last action you supported was Lufthansa, or was there something in between?
There was one in Genoa as well, for the people who couldn't come to Genoa because of the facts that were happening. So the Saturday afternoon there has been a net strike as well. It wasn't much participated because it was made up in effect of what happened on Friday. But it's because of this last net strike that the police is coming to shut down our website, which is already mirrored, so fuck them all.
But how is this exactly? I thought that this was legal. I mean, on what grounds is the police coming to your little studio?
The problem is we would like to know as well, because there's no law talking about the legal practice of the net strike, but as you have seen already in Genoa, the in Italy police with this government has much more agility on its choices, so they can try to do the laws before the laws are already made, you know.
Well, that's what democracy is, right? But so the facts that they are now coming to you and saying you have to take this server off means that it is apparently becoming a problem for them. Do you reckon that your net strike actions till now were a political success?
Yes, we you know, the net strike is 5 years that has born, but it's since 1 year and a half that is working quite good, because the people start to know there is this chance on the net, not only being customers but being even people who demonstrate. And so in the last year there has been some net strikes which succeeded against for example the office of the copyright of on music in Italy, which made new laws, and we put it down for some hours. We made a campaign the whole winter against them, and the net strike is one of the arms we choose to use for our struggle in the end.
So, because you said before that it's not actually only about bringing down the website, do you actually manage to blockade this website with a net strike?
Yeah.
Yes. So, a couple of thousand people that use their little legal web browser from their little legal internet connection can actually bring down the propaganda agency of capitalism. Well, that's good news, people. Stay surfing.
When it's a lot of people talking, it is.
But let's talk some more about the context of them bringing you down. I mean, NetStrike IT exists since 4 years.
So the website, the new website, it's since 1 year and a half that is working, because before the practice was known just in the squat, and it was starting to born, you know. It's 1 year and a half that is up our website, and the practice is becoming more and more known.
Practicing the NetStrike, we we thought that it would be useful for anybody who would like to be involved in such a protest to have a point of news, of understanding how it works, understanding what it is and why we are choosing this way, and that is netstrike.it.
I think that's quite an interesting approach, especially because all these international capitalists and their friends in the governments kind of decided to move their asses to the internet after the streets are not safe anymore, which is also good news because we can apparently get them there as well. But, I mean, apparently the police started to take stronger interest in you. I mean, how did this start?
They've started when we... when we made a net strike in Milan, because our squad was about to be closed, we made...
You're still there, aren't you?
Eh?
Oh. You're still there?
Yeah, we moved in another place, but we're still alive. So.
Well, kraken gaat door.
We don't stop squatting. And so, after that net strike, it happened that we were browsing the website, for example, and we discovered that the privacy of the... people of the citizens of Milan wasn't well protected by the website of the commune, because you could make some certificates you normally do in the offices, but the database was opened to anyone with all the dates inside. So we made a denounce to guarantee.
Yeah, there is a
privacy guarantee,
and there is something like a minister who is a guarantee for the privacy of the citizen.
And so
we made sent him an email with evidences of this shit made on.
So in other words, you sent the policeman in charge the address of the schools where his kids were going, and then what happened?
Yeah, they first said that we broken up their website, that we
were hackers.
Yeah, and we hacked
criminal hackers.
And we hacked the website, and we put this private informations about people on the net. But then they had to retreat this because it was untrue.
And then you moved with your sites and your activities into the focus of interest, correct?
Yeah. And the government we have now in Italy is the same government we had in the town of Milan. It's the same people.
They are so right wings both.
But I mean, still, all these activities are not not really illegal. So, on what kind of grounds did they say? Did they just come? A dark man came in the office and said, If you go on doing this, you're going to be in trouble? Or
at the moment, the news we have are just like this. They just arrived in into our ISP and said, turn down this website. But we don't know any reason in particular, because we just know there has been the last night strike in Genoa, and it comes from the police of Genoa.
So what did the ISP say?
Sorry?
What did the ISP say?
He put it down.
Right, I understand.
We have mirrored it already, so we don't mind, because in the last month there was some newspapers starting to talk about the net strike about as a illegal practice of these just little kids making troubles with PCs at home, you know.
Yeah, they were, you know, preparing the ground for the stuff that happened today.
Like always, just a sec. Just a sec. Okay, sorry for this short interruption with the programming director. This ISP hosting, so this means in practice that if some kind of policeman walks in with the right attitude, an ISP in Italy, and says, take this website down, they will just say, Okay. Yeah, we're taking the website down. They will not ask any legal paper, anything, any court order?
They probably have shown some legal paper, but we haven't had the chance to see what was written in it, so we don't know what is the right reason why.
So you just discovered by typing World Wide Web Net Strike ET, and there comes up the Yahoo page, and that's not our page.
Yeah, and something like.
And then you call the internet service provider, and you say, "Well, where's our web page?"
Yeah.
And they say,
"Oh, police came. They phoned us in order to tell us we are going to put down the website because the police came and asked. So we are going to do this, and we discover it."
There has been several other cases. In Austria, there was a webpage of a legal support group that put a little pamphlet on the internet, how to behave when getting arrested, short before the demonstrations in Salzburg. And exactly the same thing happens. There was a little phone call from the political police saying, very odd actually, this thing has to stay on the net, but the people who put it up cannot have further access to it. After political waves being made after that, this state remained about 3 days. But, so what happened now? The same thing happened again. There was a policeman coming in and said, NetStrike has to go offline. And they just said, okay, click.
Yeah, that's what happened.
More or less, that's it.
And I'm a little bit worried of what you're telling me now, because one of our main mirrors is in Austria at the moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, this was a very singular case, and I don't think it will be repeated, because there is media laws there, as there is media laws here. You might have heard about our home base, squat.net, hosting a site about Spanish policemen torturing people in jail and receiving a letter.
We did a mirror as well on ECN in Italy.
Have you received any news from the government on that?
Not at the moment. In the first period, we had some messages coming.
Take it off. Yeah, we too.
And we said, we don't care.
But it's still on there?
It's still on.
Right, let's not be intimidated then.
Not at all.
No.
So, but apart from the mirror on the, let's say, digital front in Italy, are you planning to put the site up on Italian territory again, or have you given up on that idea?
I think we'll do. At the moment we are here, so we are trying to talk with our friends in Italy to discuss what's going on really, and to see what the person who registered the NetStrike IT domain will have to face with the judges. As soon as we have a more clear the situation, we'll make our choices. But so I think we'll put it again.
There is going to be a court case. Is this correct?
Probably, yeah.
Probably, yes. Yeah.
So, but a court case, whom against whom? Is this a civil case of you as a group against your provider, or the government trying to charge you on criminal reasons? So, I mean, what's the? I'm still having trouble to grab the legal grounds on which this happens. I mean, if the police calls a newspaper and says, "I don't like your front page," the newspaper will say, "Fuck you." Yeah, there is laws in this country.
I know. It's not for us, maybe, because...
Apparently not.
The only thing we know
it's
is...
only right from the middle.
Maybe the order came from Genoa itself.
And from the police of Genoa. So we know it's not still closed, the G8 battle. What has started in Genoa, it's going on in Italy.
This is very clear. It's all over the internet, all over the news.
And this is just one of the little steps they are making to close all the mouths.
Well, guys, as we are all here together, we're here on Hull, on the prairie. It's going to rain any minute, like the last 3 days. What do you think of Hull?
Well, it's quite well organized, but... We are making our idea because we have some we have an experience in Italy. It's called ECK meeting.
Yeah, tell us more about that.
Something similar, but it's different because we still make seminaries, debates, and this and that. But we make them in our squads. We don't want any sponsors. And
Very strong.
Make it our own way, you know. So we have less chances. We don't have a big university campus. We have our squads, but we try to make it as well. But here the situation seems good. I'm here to wonder how it can work with sponsors, with this stuff. I still wonder. Well, I prefer my choice at the moment.
Yeah, well, it looks very good to me. I understand that at your last two convergences, you didn't have an internet connection. Is this correct?
Yes, that's true. It was we decided to cut off the internet connection because in the ACK meeting of the year 2000, we found that people were not able to talk each other because they were always on the internet, and it was not good for us because the first thing is for us is to share all the information we have. We build it up from the scratch ourselves, and everybody who is there is not just listening. We want them to participate, to build it up with us, and that's a reason why, for example, you don't have to pay anything to come in.
Because an ECK meeting is not a wow high band, a lot of MP3. It's just share information.
And if you compare the events where you still had the connection to the ones where you didn't have one, do you reckon that this concept was a success?
Yeah, I think yes. We had not so much people coming like the last year, but the people who were there for work with us, for working with us, to do things with us, to talk with us, and that was what we wanted to have, the people we wanted to meet in such a meeting.
I walked around this campus for the last 2 days with or without my little MP3 player, and I talked to many people. Everybody said, I'm here for the fun. Do you reckon that the normal profile of people going to, let's say, a ECK lab meeting in Italy is different?
Well, we want fun too.
of course.
But it's not just fun. It's also thinking. Think about the situation. What does it mean to be an activist? And what does it mean to practice the ECKing? What is it? And even if you don't have to say it in plain words, you can get it living the activism, living there. And that's a way to living it.
Well, people, as soon as I'm back in Amsterdam, I'm going to fetch my UTP pliers and my crowbar, and I'm going to look for a big, big empty building. Next year, we're going to be offline.
Great.
Thanks very much for the interview. Yeah, let's talk again
later.
Thank
you very much for the space.
And, Kraka Kaptur.
to get the celebrities we deserve. Let's act like you don't quote me, because if no one quotes you, you probably haven't said a thing worth saying.
Still listening to the ASCII News Hour every Friday 6 till 7. We're not broadcasting from our dark basement in Amsterdam today, but from the sunny campsite in Enschede. Please come and visit us. We're behind the big tent. As soon as you get there, you'll find us. There's some ASCII logos and there's loads of things we have to for you to be able to recognize us. I was walking across this camp and I thought, well, this is the male event of the year. There's loads of boys all over the place. And after some hard looking, I found some women. Welcome. How did you get here?
We came with you.
This is all a fake.
But... my question is, could you, you're in a group together, all of you, like you're the Gender Change Academy,
yeah.
as it says on a t-shirt, great t-shirt. Could you tell me about this group, what does it do, and why is it a woman thing?
Well, all right, the Gender Changers, what we do, what we basically do, we try to create a platform for women where they feel comfortable enough to play with hardware, computer hardware.
Mm-hmm. And you chose to be hardware oriented.
Yes.
Why not software?
Well, our own experience is that most women are pretty familiar with software, in that sense that they do know how to use the internet. We're talking about the majority. Of course, there are a lot of there are groups of women who know lots. But the bigger group are not so much familiar with computer hardware. So they know how to surf the internet, and they know how to use word processors and stuff like that. But we think that computer hardware is a very important domain in knowing more about computers. And it's very male-dominated. Mm-hmm. And that's something we would like to change.
Yep. But how would you do that?
Yes, well, what you could do is to give courses in computer hardware. So we discovered that a lot of women feel much more comfortable to ask questions about hardware if it's a woman telling them or showing them how they could do it. And we also have very small groups. It's about 8 people per class. And it's very open, open atmosphere in the class. So any question is welcome. It's hands-on practice. We make stupid jokes about the many sex terms in computer hardware.
Like what?
Oh, well, maybe we can start with the whole name thing, the gender changer. But I think Donna is really good at talking, telling you about what a gender changer actually is.
And let's hear it from Donna.
Hello, hello. A gender changer is a thingy that, in the back of the computer, you have like all these kind of places you can stick cables into, and some of them have little holes in them, and some have little pins, and the ones with the little holes are the female contact spots, and the ones with the little pins are the male ones. And sometimes you have a cable that doesn't fit, so you can put a thingy in between, and that's called a gender changer.
Mm-hmm.
Not to forget about master and slave issues, also very interesting.
Mm-hmm. But if I go back one step, this whole camp is filled with male people. Why is there so few female attendants?
I don't know, but I think maybe getting back to why we do this course, it sounds a bit corny, but it makes me think of like the 70s feminist way of getting women to know how to change their own tires of their cars, and women don't grow up learning how to fix their own bicycles and whatever, and they just become so dependent on their brothers or their boyfriends or whatever to learn these things and or to do these things. And so I suppose women just are busy with other things, you know. What surprises me is that a lot of women are on internet. They use WordPress a lot. They're the secretaries. They do enough with computers. But when it comes to like opening up the case and, you know, putting in their own network card, they're completely clueless. And the women that we get, a lot of them even work in IT groups and have never opened a case or whatever. And they really get a kick out of it. They really enjoy like just unscrewing the thing and pulling it all apart and putting it back together again. But the question why there's no women here, I don't know. I think that's a really, really complicated question.
Mm-hmm. But it's a bit a difficult question, but do you think there is any males on this camp not knowing about computer hardware?
Well, there probably are. On the whole, they know how to change a card or whatever. It's more complicated things like changing the jumper settings and stuff. And maybe they don't know so much about, but on the whole, I think men are more comfortable pulling their box apart than women. And I think it's partly to do with that women, well, you spend a lot of money on your computer. When it goes wrong and you need to take it apart, then it's a scary thing, because if you break something, then you have no idea what you've done, you know. So that has a lot to do with it.
But if you give this hardware courses, you don't need to bring your own computer. We just all demolish the gender change machines.
Yeah, we started off using ASCII hardware, but now we've started getting our own, and we even have some Pentiums.
Oh, and they still work?
Yes, they have Debian installed on them, in fact.
Well, I would like to end up this conversation, but my last question will be, where will it end? Like, what is the end point of the gender change academy?
World domination, I hear from a male listener. I would say yes, that would be a very nice idea, but I don't think it's possible. But I don't think we cannot talk about an end, because it just started. So our next issues will be what other kind of classes could we make for women, and that's another thing we would like to know more about after HAL. We're going to try to find information about all the many techies that are here. Like, what kind of classes do you think would be useful
mm-hmm.
for women?
Okay. Well, okay, everybody listening to this radio, if you have any problem with your cards inside the computer or jumper settings or whatever, if the cabling goes not like it should, please look around and see for somebody wearing the green t-shirt with the yellow label saying CGA.
GCA. GCA, Gender Changer Academy.
Okay. I would like you to thank you very much for being here, and we go play some music. After that, we will invite somebody from the Internet Cafe in Berlin to explain why and what and how.
Thank you.
This is Moon. Yo, a lot of people been asking what the Hawkman's all about. This one's for you. E stands for energy. Yo, that's me. I'm a brilliant scientist and a dope MC. Before you step to me, I'd think twice, G. Cause I'm the lord of chaos, king of entropy. You done with it? I motherfucking hope so. Cause if you're not, I got a motherfucking rope, yo. I'll string you up from a big ass tree, with a sign round your neck that says whack MC. There ain't another motherfucker hard like me. I'm a universal constant, I'm a singularity. Got Doomsday at my back with fat ass tracks. He pumps punk in the cracks and cuts wax with an X. So listen up, bitch, cause there may be a test. My style is smooth, but it's hard to digest. My science is tight, rhymes faster than light. Like a ton of TNT, I'm about to ignite. E equals MC.
Come on, come on.
E equals MC.
What, what?
E equals MC.
Come on, come on.
E equals MC.
What?
E equals MC.
Come on.
E equals MC.
What? What?
E equals MC.
Come on.
E equals MC. Hard. I explode like a bomb. No one is spared. My power is my mass times the speed of light squared. Close on my tip. 15 bullets in my clip. My hand rests heavy on my pistol grip. Doomsday cuts it up like a Shaolin monk. Pumping the funk in your junk drunk punk. There's no escaping here, I'm gonna beat you out of shape. Like a fucking black hole, even light can't escape. Got a mind to bust a rhyme to make your brain bleed. Other rappers talk shit, but they gotta concede. Then I'm a three sandwich eating, supermodel meeting. Step to me punk and you're gonna get a beating. So listen up bitch, cause there may be a test. My style is smooth, but it's hard to digest. My science is tight, rhymes faster than light. Like a ton of TNT, I'm about to ignite. E equals MC.
Come on.
E equals MC.
What? What?
E equals MC.
Come on, come on.
E equals MC.
What?
E equals MC.
Come on, come on.
E equals MC.
What? What?
E equals MC.
Come on, come on.
E equals MC. Parking, parking, parking. Breakdown. Ah, yeah. That's right. E equals MC. Parking, motherfuckers. God damn, that was some stanky ass punk. Somebody open a motherfucking window. Yo, Doomsday, take us out.
Yeah, we are sorry not to mention the URL of the Gender Change Academy. It's www.genderchangers.org. www.genderchangers.org. Please put it in your bookmarks, or even better, just start your browser using this URL. We are the ASCII. We are supposed to deliver internet to the people in Amsterdam. In Berlin, we have a group called LOTEG. These people, they are also busy on the same subject. We are trying to find these people as we speak. We play some music first and we run around the camp tracing them.
Well, people, on requests of Hull Radio here on the campsite, a little presentation of ourselves. We are the ASCII, the Amsterdam Subversive Code for Information Interchange, based under the famous bookshop Fort van Chaco, Jodenbergstraat 24 in Amsterdam, open every day between 2 and 7 o'clock in the afternoon. Just put up and when I talk you put down. Our whole venue runs on free open source software and old machines. And internet access is, of course, free. Fuck capitalism and the horse it rode in. Wiring the underground since 1999. Finally turned up a gentleman from Low-Tech Berlin, or little sister or big sister organization, a couple of thousand kilometers east. What is Low-Tech? Closer and talk in the mic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Low-Tech are some people, they come together to share their experience with computers.
So, but I mean, any experience with any computers, if I look around here, I see a lot of consumist nerds doing nothing. I look at your website, I see you have a Women's Day, I see you have strong affiliation to what was earlier maybe a strong squatter scene. I mean, what is special in Low-Tech? Why is it not just a university internet cafe around the corner?
Maybe it is, I don't know. We share our knowledge and what we know with other people, that's all.
So do you charge people for the knowledge you share?
Share.
So in other words, no money involved?
Mm-hmm. Hmm?
No money involved?
No. It's...
So in other words, do you have a venue as well in Berlin, a cafe or something like this? Is this correct?
Mm-hmm. We have a place to where we meet. Yeah.
And do you have internet access in there?
Yes, we have.
And people are then not charged for sitting down there and surfing the internet?
No, this isn't right. It's for self-costing, yes.
I'm sorry, again, I didn't understand.
The cost, what needs to set it up is the spend of for this.
Well, Okay, we will continue this interview in German. I hope that people will understand, and if not, please go and learn the fucking language. So, okay, wo in Berlin is Low-Tech?
Es gibt einen Raum in Friedrichshain.
Und der ist öffentlich zugänglich, verstehe ich das richtig?
Ja. Ja, zu gewissen Zeiten.
Zu gewissen Zeiten. Also wir haben als ASCII jeden Tag offen. Mhm. Wir würden am liebsten 24 Stunden, 7 Tage die Woche offen halten, aber wir finden nicht genug Leute, die das machen können. Ne? Wir haben alle Jobs. Aber ich meine, was steckt dahinter? Was für eine Idee steckt dahinter? Warum macht ihr das?
Ja, es gibt die Erfahrung, irgendwie allein zu Hause vom Computer sitzen, und es gibt die Idee, irgendwie das gemeinsam irgendwie zu tun. Und
das lautet.
Mhm. Ja.
Na, und steckt da noch irgendwie eine, ich meine, abgesehen mal von der Technik, eine politische oder eine sozialrevolutionäre oder irgendeine andere Idee dahinter, oder geht es nur um die Technik, oder?
Das weiß nicht, kann jeder für sich selber herausfinden oder sehen oder so. Ist keine beschrieben, ne?
Kein Manifest, so kein Statement.
Mhm.
Low-Tech ist auch nicht ein Short für irgendwas anderes.
Vielleicht.
Nicht, dass du wüsstest. Naja, wann habt ihr angefangen?
Vor 2 Jahren.
Soweit ich das verstehe, hatte in Deutschland die Deutsche Telekom sehr lang mehr oder weniger das Monopol auf alle Internetverbindungen. Das heißt, sie haben probiert, ISDN zu propagieren. Und deswegen waren keine DSL-Anschlüsse erhältlich. Hat sich das in der Zwischenzeit verändert? Wie macht ihr das? Ist das zu bezahlen, wenn man es über ISDN macht?
Ja. Also, es gibt Flatrates, aber.
Betrifft euch nicht.
Mhm. Betrifft uns schon, klar.
Auch. Warte mal ganz kurz.
A little bit of music.
You can't use this! You can't use this! Lie, 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 lie. Window sill is so hot, 'cause it's built on a house of cards. What is this he brought here? Wanna cover my eyes and plug my ears? It's slow, and that's no lie. It's about as much fun as watching paint dry. Beware, if you got a short fuse, 'cause it's the kind of system hook you can't use. I told you, homeboy, you can't use this. Find me the receipt, man. I can't use this. Tech support's still busy. I can't use this. Yo, give me the instruction manual. I can't use this. PowerPoint and Windows, Office and NT. I might like them better after Myla bought some meat.
Well, people, unfortunately, Lowtech didn't have much more to say. Please go to their websites, Lowtech, L-O-T-E-C dot squats dot net, to learn more about them. What a pity.
Next will be somebody from tao.ca, so please point your browser to...
Yeah, where are they?
Tao, T-A-O.ca. They're going to tell all about their website and what it is about.
Yeah, I'm wondering myself as well what it is.
Going to do some audio surfing.
Cool. Well organized, and the rain has stopped. That's one positive thing. I advise everybody, if you feel a little bit weak in the legs, to visit the Power Pong tent so you can do some biking with your best friend and play Pong at the same time. How interactive can you be? And even also get your body very active. And in the meanwhile, a guest appeared here on the table. Hi.
Hi.
You're from Canada.
Oh, I'm from Canada.
Do you play hockey?
I do not play hockey.
Okay. Well, we had that question out of the air.
I hate hockey.
How come? Well, we're not going to go into
okay.
that.
Okay.
you're from, what I heard, well, from Tao something.
From Tao, actually spelled T-A-O.
T-A-O.
It sounds like Dow Chemicals.
What is Dow? Nothing. It sounds like a sort of Tai Chi something.
It is. Well, it's we're sort of part cultural appropriation and also...
Appropriation. Don't speak such a difficult language.
Ooh,
come on, plain and simple. What are you?
Well, we're trying to mix kind of Eastern mythology and spirituality with social justice and other kind of like anarchist socialist politics. We're doing that through the internet.
Okay.
And so
what's your URL?
It's tao.ca, spelled T-A-O.ca.
Very short.
Yeah.
That's good.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, perfect.
Be back.
So if I go surfing and I be on your page, what do I see? What can I experience?
Well, there's links to a bunch of different groups that are hosted on DAO. What DAO does is it provides a web space and basically a web presence for groups who are interested, specifically social justice groups in Canada and abroad. So we have a large user base, actually.
Okay.
And
can you give an example of a group?
A sample? Well, recently, for example, in Toronto specifically, there's a group called OCAP. They're... and that stands for Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, and they're kind of controversial in that they do direct action casework, which is they're trying to counter the effects of poverty on people, especially in Toronto and Ontario, where there's a very right wing government which is doing a lot of taking a lot of the social programs away, and
mm-hmm.
so. Their tactic in getting what they want and what, for example, people who are on getting social assistance, like the Dole or welfare or whatever you call it, they often have problems in getting what they're entitled to by law.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're faced with intimidation, etc. And what OCAP does is they actually will get together in large numbers and go into the office and demand things for individuals. And they also do that direct action casework for refugee rights, etc. So that's only one of the groups that's hosted on DAO. And there are lots.
Yeah.
Lots of individuals and groups.
Are there any environmental groups or and women groups also on that site?
There are lots. I don't even know of how many. It's kind of this, it's a loose network that started about 95, and it's just expanded to a point where I don't even know what it consists of. It's huge.
Wonderful.
Huge.
Do you have many hits? Because I think that is where everything is about, I think, on your website.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure we even have a page counter on the front page.
Why not? Everybody has one. Download
somebody
one,
check.
Put it there, and
check. I don't think it's important. What's important for
yeah.
us is to kind of make network, like facilitate networks, and to like there are lots of people who are involved in social justice movement, and to sort of make a space where people can connect with other people. And
that works.
Other groups.
And people come to your network by themselves, or are you really looking for the right groups to join?
I think the most people who apply to join kind of find DAO through other means.
You just let it go, sort of let it grow by itself.
Yeah, one thing that we do provide a lot of is lists, like email lists for a large number of groups. So
mm-hmm.
we have a server that's dedicated to lists, and it's quite wieldy how many people are actually using it.
What can I say? Are you anarchists or communists?
I consider
terrorists?
Myself anarchist.
Yes.
It's DAO is not explicitly anarchist. It's
but left radical kind
yes,
of way.
Left radical for sure.
Did you do anything on the Quebec things?
Some people involved with DAO I think were either supporting it through computer assistance or from other means. We were definitely supporting it however we could.
So if I want to look for anything alternative in Canada, I just go to the tao.ca site and check out what's
you
going
can find
out
some links. You can definitely find some links to, for example, and I actually come from Vancouver, and the Vancouver local of DAO actually is engaged in like organizing. Like, we have an events listing, so lots of people who come to Vancouver and already know of DAO can just go to the Vancouver DAO webpage, which is vancouver.dao.ca, and find a listing of events, like radical events that are happening in Vancouver.
Also musical things, cultural things?
Musical, cultural.
Art,
yeah,
stuff.
Lots of stuff, yeah. So
is there any art in Vancouver at the moment? I know nothing about Canada. I only know the Terrence and Philip thing, those two famous actors from Canada. Blame Canada, you know, the movie South Park?
No. I'm glad to say I haven't seen it.
I think you have been censored or something. It's a really wonderful movie, South Park, the uncut version. It's the United States going at war with Canada.
I haven't seen it.
Wonderful. Belachelijk. Outrageous. Well, you should see it. It's funny. Blame Canada for everything. Okay, so.
But in Vancouver, another thing we're doing is we're running running a space that's similar to ASCII, in that we provide public access, we recycle old computer parts, and also try to put a, you know, it's like, is we're sending out the resource for radical politics.
Yeah.
So people who are involved in radical politics can come in and use our resources.
Yeah, that was actually my question I want to ask, but you were first. If you are physically, how do you say that? Physically there,
yeah,
and you
physical
are
physical presence. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Although we recently got evicted from our space, but we will be hopefully.
How come? Higher rent or something?
It has to do with building codes and bylaws and bureaucracy.
You were in a bad building.
In a bad building.
It
with
had
a
to
bad
be
landlord.
It had to be demolished and stuff, or renovated, and prices go up for
yuppie
rent and stuff.
Exactly.
Okay, and now if people want to go to Vancouver,
yeah.
Are you physical now? Still at the same place?
We're not in the same space, no.
No, but
If you check out the Vancouver site, which is linked from the DAO main page, you can check out what's going on, what the Vancouver local is doing. See, DAO is sort of organized in kind of a federation, so we have, we have locals in particular cities where there's enough people to sustain a group, and decisions are made. Like locals act independently of the federation. It's kind of sort of a
autonomous, non-hierarchical system,
which is ideally it works, but sometimes it doesn't work so well.
Are there any specific topics now in Canada that you say like, hey, watch this, like governmental new laws or anything to do with hacking or on drugs?
Drugs? There's lots of drugs.
I mean,
drugs in Vancouver.
But there's no big issue happening at the moment in Canada. Why we should watch the Canadian site for?
Well, there's a G8 thing that's coming up next year.
What's that?
The G8 meeting is.
I'm just making fun of you.
That's happening in. It was planned to happen in Ottawa, but they canceled it for Ottawa and they put it in a more remote location in. Someplace in some resort town in Alberta.
Somewhere in the mountains, like very nice, you see on Discovery Channel or on National Geographic.
But there are some people already organizing for that in Calgary, in Edmonton. So that is something to look for in 2002. Otherwise, there are struggles going on all over the place.
Yeah, but is it not an idea just to leave those Baby Bush and the Seven Dwarfs somewhere and do actions in another place, another situation, other location? Not going to Alberta, but go to wherever the governmental is seated, I don't know where, in Canada, but Quebec or where's your governmental?
Yeah, like you kind of mean like dispersing the kind of the protest? Or
yeah. Think globally, act locally.
Yes,
stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that. My personal opinion on kind of summit hopping is like I prefer to do more, be involved in groundwork of like grassroots organizing more than focusing on the next event.
Yes,
I know in some ways it is important that people confront these organizations, and in mass numbers, but also. I sometimes don't think it's worth it. You know, I think, you know.
Put energy in the local things that will get more and better result, probably.
Yeah.
Make people aware of the things that's happening and let the people know what the G8 is deciding for you. Because why can't you get social welfare that easily?
Yeah.
And how comes that immigrant laws are being made and immigrants getting criminalized and no help at all?
Yeah.
And explain that to the people. That's
Because I think
I
if we're
totally
talking
agree with you.
I think if we're talking about the fight for social justice. It's more than just it's not going to happen in the next 18 months. You know, it's gonna take years and years. It's gonna take lifetimes. You know, so I mean that kind of work has to begin somewhere, and it's like the hard work, the grassroots organizing is kind of the intensive labor that has to happen, in my opinion.
Okay, you personally, why are you here?
Coming to check things out and learn a little bit about...
What are you checking out?
I love that
the connections ASCII? Or the girls or the boys, I don't know.
ASCII. I like the ASCII project because I want to check out things that are similar to what we're doing in Canada and see if there's some way we can learn from them and
grow together.
Yeah, make some contacts and, you know, like share information.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, I want to come check out some of the workshops.
Okay. Do you have any favorite workshops, like safe SMS messages or the ethics of hacking?
I want to check out the SSH, analyzing SSH traffic, which is coming out yesterday or something like that. Tomorrow.
Or something. Let's see the program for
that.
But I don't think that's very interesting for our listeners. Or they have to go to the website of Hull. So if people want to see something about Canada, learn something about Canada, get to know the networking there, go to
TAO.ca.
Okay.
Tao. It's a big yin yang symbol. You know the.
Do you do Tai Chi?
I've tried it. Yeah, it's really good. I like it.
I'm very very curious.
Aikido.
About
it. Aikido is good. Actually.
Aikido. Yeah.
Aikido is different. It's more.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have fun.
Kleidung ist schwarz und ich stehe vor dem Schirm. Links und unten rechts, rechts der schwarze Stern. Unsere Schreie sind so laut, hey! Unsere Tanz ist so wild, hey, hey! Eine neue böse Tanz. Alle gegen alle, alle gegen alle, alle gegen alle, alle gegen alle, alle gegen alle. Kleidung ist so schwarz und ich stehe vor dem Tischel. Links und unten rechts, rechts der schwarze Stern. Unsere Schreie sind so laut, unser Tanz ist so wild. Eine neue böse Tanz. Alle gegen alle, alle gegen alle,
alle, alle,
alle gegen alle,
alle gegen alle,
alle gegen alle,
alle.
IndieMedia.org, Belgium, Holland, Germany, Barcelona, all over the world, Sweden, New York, all over the world. IndieMedia.org is a unique network of websites and independent media organizations and journalists dedicated to open and free publishing on the internet.
Cool, huh?
IndieMedia.org allows anyone to publish images, video, audio, text, stories about your life, stories about news going on in your community around the world. Currently, IndieMedia.org is here at the ASCII tent with the good ASCII folks.
Yeah, I found one from Portland who's still sort of glued to his laptop. There's one from Belgium here. And
we're everywhere.
Yeah, and I think there was also one woman from Germany or something, but she has to go to a workshop, so...
So, one thing we're doing here at HAL 2001, IndieMedia.org is looking for your help. We need servers, we need bandwidth, we need programmers, we need publishers. Please come to the ASCII tent if you can help offer some assistance with either big fat servers or big fat pipes of bandwidth to host some of the best content on the internet, the only very unique open publishing system on the internet?
The most important thing at the moment, I think, is to get the Dutch indie media a server. We need 3,000 guilders for that. We have a big beggar bucket in the tent. So if people can spare a dime or a guilder or even more, be welcome to do that. Well, next to me is someone from Belgium, and next to you is someone from Portland in the media. So take the mic and do something.
So maybe we'll do a little bit of history. Belgium is one of the most active indie medias in Europe currently. When did Belgium get started, and what kind of things does Belgium do?
Well, Belgium started about 1 year and a half ago. And as most indie medias, they started when at the top, which was going on in Europe. In Belgium at that time, the Unis top. Currently, we are active in covering the things going on around the European. Belgium is ahead of the how do you call this?
The European Union
of the presidency, European Union of presidency,
the monarchy,
voila,
or
voila.
Something.
And
no.
we're expecting a few tops summits in the future. In October, there is one in Ghent, and at the end of the European presidency, there will be one in the halfway December, 14th of December, in Brussels.
Now, in addition to allowing anybody to publish on the Belgium Indie Media site, because you, like other indie media sites, have an open publishing policy and no censorship, open publishing policy, there is a collective in Brussels and around Belgium that dedicates itself to producing content for indie media. What kind of groups, organizations, form the collective that produces for indie media? Are they video people, radio people, are they print journalists or all kinds? Or,
well, most people are just independent people, and they decide on their own if they want to produce just text, or they want to make some interviews, or they produce a video. Some of the active people are professional journalists who cannot provide all the information they want to provide, cannot do that through their normal jobs in the corporate media, and therefore they use the indie media open publishing side. And they are really active, and a few of them are really active in the indie media, also in the organization, and also in the education of people how to publish and how to make interviews.
There's even more happening in Belgium than Summit, and it's very interesting. Every day there's new material, and I think Belgium does a great job for us press also. Should we switch to Portland?
Let's have a little music, maybe, to keep promoting.
Well, the music is still going, so at the background, so we do it comfy way.
Portland.
I think you should take the mic off your, and well, sort of, or get close to the mic, his mic or mine.
Okay.
So, you're from Portland.
I am.
That's U.S., right? United States, baby bush country.
Yes, Portland, Oregon.
When did Portland start it?
We started at the end of last year. We've spent the last year covering local issues, as you would expect local IMCs to. We've covered a lot of forestry issues, which are very big in Portland, police brutality, which is unfortunately a problem wherever there is police, and a lot of bicycle activism issues, like what Tao was talking about earlier.
A lot of environmentalists being active in Portland right now.
Absolutely. There's some land known as Eagle Creek, and some people have. There's been all sorts of squatting, tree squatting, which is when they go in and they build a platform 40 feet up, and they just pretty much sit up there for years at a time, and the police can't cut them down without endangering their lives, and they're not willing to do that yet.
How are you covering that?
By people on the scene. We use open publishing, like all indie medias do. That means we as indie media people don't do very much. We provide the space for the public to have the discussion. We don't do any, we do the bare minimum of editing. It's practical. We have like a few lines of like, you can't advocate any crime in a specific place, and there's duplicate posts, and that's pretty much the extent of our editing. But if someone cares about forest activism issues, they don't have to clear it with us. They just have to post to the site, and it will be up there, and their information will be seeable to all.
Are those sites online as well?
Absolutely. We're predominantly online. We're at portland.indiemedia.org. And
yeah, I mean those tree squatting sites. Because I can imagine if you are up a big tree for a long, long time, it's very nice to be online.
I would imagine. I'm not really sure. Unfortunately, I'm not too involved with the tree issues. I've been more... I'm one of the tech people, as you would imagine, at a hacker convention. So.
You not really look like one because you're not that pale.
Yeah, I'm...
He's not a European hacker. No. He's a, you know, American, relaxed.
Yeah, well, also Americans just stay in their room and have only the light from the monitors in their face.
I bought a sun lamp for the ladies. So that way I can spend 14 hours in front of a computer and still go out and look tan.
You fooled me. You fooled me, right? Sure. Fantastic. So are there any interesting or exciting things in the future in Portland that we should monitor the Portland Indie Media site for?
Absolutely. I can't remember what they are at the moment, but I'm sure something will be exciting and new.
Okay. Tell me again. Portland.indiemedia.org, right?
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for sharing your table, and go back to your laptop. Thank you.
Let me just get in with a little breaking news about the NetStrike issues going on. NetStrike.it was attacked by the Italian police. Their main server was disconnected.
When?
Today, earlier today.
This morning,
maybe a couple hours ago. I'm not exactly sure.
Oh.
The mirror went up. But maybe if some NetStrike.Italy people can come here and give the latest update, that would be good, just to keep people updated.
Yeah, well, somebody's going to watch them. Still on the table here is, or by the table is Belgium. What are you doing here, by the way, at Hull?
At Hull? Well, here we're joining for more tech things. Especially the discussions about setting up a European server, because now all the information is still coming from one server in the United States. It's down very often, and it's also been approached by the police there. And so we're thinking about setting up a European server where we have our content.
It's not exactly true that all indie media sites run on one server, but there's a concentration of on a few servers. And especially when we try to do large file uploads, because we allow people to publish images, audio, you know, streaming audio, video, etc. Publishing from Europe becomes hard sometimes during high traffic. Also, it's just a better idea to have a distributed network of indie media sites, especially since the material can get controversial and governments get upset about it and things like that. There's no doubt that if the Italian indie media server was in Italy at the time of the Genoa protests, the Italian police would have most definitely attacked that server. So it's good to have a distributed network of servers around the world to save ourselves from the tyrannical governments.
Yeah, stupid repression. Because I cannot imagine which is so. So important. What kind of news do you say in the media? You know, it's the thing. What's going on?
Well, anybody can say whatever
they want.
And
that's dangerous, or that's terrorist-like, or you're anarchist. Oh, bet. How's the repression in Belgium?
Well, until now we didn't have any repression, or we didn't feel any repression. I'm fearing the coming months, because then I think we could be approached by police or by people, and until now, I think also the laws in Belgium are quite free. There are actually no laws, and very little laws on the internet until now. So I don't think they can do very much. But I think we should be in advance and distributed servers around the world, and we can switch the content from one server and not to another. We'll secure the content and
maybe.
Yeah, in December they have the summit thing, and but also in September you already have something, so you can already feel a little bit how repression meter is going.
Yeah, but until now it's very difficult to say. I didn't experience any repression, and as far as I know, no people had that experience until now. We feel that more and more people start visiting the site, and that also we more and more times we have to discard some articles being published by people who try to use the open source by getting some propaganda through, and that's something we want to stop and in advance.
It's what kind of propaganda? Right wing or communist or any
or commercial?
Yeah, or commercial or yeah. Porn or whatever.
Yeah, these things are not very difficult because there is no discussion about commercial things. There is no discussion about stupid some bullshit things. but when it gets difficult, when you have very subtle articles, which describe, for example, there was a big discussion about an article published about the courts against some people from Rwanda who were being judged here in Belgium and were judged for the genocide in Rwanda. And there was an article about this. And at first view, this looks a very interesting article. But at the end, if you read between the lines, you can see this guy is really he's not opposing this genocide. He's actually agreeing with this genocide. And can you let such articles go through or not? This is very difficult. And I expect to this type of articles being published to grow in the coming years as this tool gets more and more known by people.
I don't think that any media people or teams or whatever should underestimate the hard task editorial people are going to have in the future, especially when little, right?
Yeah. What I would like to say that we try to reduce the editing to an absolute minimum, and that we never edit articles in itself. We just monitor what's going through, and first it's published, and it's only and afterwards we discuss about it. Can it be on the site or can it not be in the site? And then sometimes it's discarded. But it's very, very few articles.
Sounds good.
One thing that that has been implemented on a couple of indie media sites is a rating system, which allows the viewers of the site to actually rate an article. So if the viewers of the indie media site decide, well, this article is horrible, or it I really don't like it, and enough people say we don't like it, we don't want it,
mm-hmm.
we let the people choose, and if it gets a low enough rating, then it gets sort of kicked off of the main newswire. It gets stored into a different newswire.
So
that's sort of
which
editing of the people.
Which indie media used that system?
San Francisco had it for a while. We're still refining the system, so
yeah.
We've tried it on different indie media sites, but a rating system is also a very complex
yes,
system to design.
Yes, I can imagine.
Because
yeah.
there's a lot of debate that goes on as to how to rate and how to have credibility for rating.
Yeah, and how to have your software working. Because I hear a lot of complaint about the software, what the indie media includes. So
yeah, one thing we're doing here...
you can join a group, but yeah. the software sucks. Figure it out yourself. Well,
come
that's
on.
Good. That's so a package
one
deal,
thing,
huh? That's called a package deal.
Well, one thing we're doing here at HAL is we're having discussions about
yeah.
rewriting the software and actually looking at different rewrites that have been done. We're not running just one software. Most of the sites are running a software called Active that's a combination of PHP.
Very lazy software called Active.
Active, come on, it's published over 100,000 articles, you know,
yeah,
around
I know.
The world, multimedia. It's done its job, but there are difficulties with extending it because it was written in sort of in a haphazard way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's written in PHP using Postgres and MySQL and also Perl sometimes. We're looking at different softwares that have been written by the German team, system written with Java servlets. Also, Philadelphia has used a modification of Slash Code.
Mm-hmm.
There's different pieces of software that have been written and are running on different indie media sites.
Funny,
so
a big cultural mixture of software. I hope everything will get well at the end. But yeah, indie media is very young. So
indie media is very young, relatively. It's only maybe even less than 2 years old.
Yeah, so
yes.
it's barely learned to walk.
Right.
So now we're going to try how to run all together.
And so one more plug again for we're looking for streaming and server space in Europe, preferably in the Amsterdam area. For server space, we would like to install our own server with root access at a server co-location facility. Our bandwidth requirements are actually not too bad because a lot of our streaming has been donated. So for just the web hosting stuff, we need, I think we've discussed, at least a 500 kilobit connection. And we need pretty much unlimited bandwidth, monthly bandwidth. We're probably eating about 100 gigabytes a month. But since we're growing and adding cities, that could go up as well.
But first, we need a server before we can
first
do anything.
First, we need a server, so come...
So come to the tent and donate your small change.
We're looking for also hard drives, 100 gigabyte hard drives to back up our gigabytes and gigabytes of videos and audio and all kinds of rich media. So if you have anything you think that could be of use for high-volume sites, such as drives or, you know, good equipment... the other thing that indie media centers, the local centers, need are computers to teach people how to publish and do video editing. So if you have, you know, Pentiums or Pentium 2s, things that could run editing software, could edit images, could allow us to run test servers, anything, please, you know, come drop them off here at the ASCII tent instead of the big... metal bin at the entrance.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to listen to some music right now. I don't know what the next topic is, but it's still okay. Thank you, Portland, and thank you, Belgium, for joining us at this nice table. Yes. Okay, we're going to switch over in Dutch. All the people don't understand Dutch. Listen closely now. Because maybe you learned something from it. I'm going to continue with our guest from Belgium.
Cool.
Ja, gaaf. So that was Engels. We gaan nu Nederlands verder.
Aha.
We hadden het net al over in de media. En misschien is het ook leuk om dat even in het Nederlands te vertellen. Mm-hmm. Voor niet iedereen is het Engels helemaal supermachtig. Misschien hier op Hal wel, hoor.
Ja, ik zelf ook niet trouwens.
Ik vind het soms best wel moeilijk. De technische Engels die er gebruikt wordt. Ja, dat je denkt van, waar gaat het in godsnaam over? Is dat ook moeilijk als je bijvoorbeeld vergaderingen hebt, internationale netwerkdingetjes of gewoon e-mails over technische zaken?
Ik kan misschien al gewoon beginnen over Belgische, Indie Media België. Wij zijn een tweetalige vereniging. Dus,
ja, want jullie
zijn
een
Franstalig deel en een Nederlandstalig deel.
Ja.
En daarin is het ook al erg moeilijk om te communiceren. Niet iedereen is het Frans machtig en de Franstalig en zeker het Nederlands niet machtig. En om zo al onderling te communiceren tijdens vergaderingen en zo is het ook al wel erg moeilijk.
Ja, dat
ook,
lijkt me echt een zware kluif. Ja. Maar het gaat goed.
Het gaat goed tot nu toe en er zijn nog geen tekenen van een split of zo in de Nederlandse of in de Franstalige.
Nee, dat zou jammer zijn. Sorry. Maar ik kan me voorstellen dat je op een gegeven moment gewoon puur omdat je miscommunicatie hebt, dat er gewoon een misverstand ontstaat. Dat zou zonde zijn natuurlijk.
Ja, organisatorisch is het soms moeilijk. En ook het vertalen van artikels of het vertalen van verslagen en zo. Die zaken die komen soms moeilijk door. Het duurt erg lang voordat zaken vertaald zijn.
Ja, maar jullie hebben in België nog een taal, namelijk het Duits. Hoe zit het daarmee dan? In de Ardennen spreken ze Duits opeens.
Ja, inderdaad. Er zijn er een paar honderdduizend Duitsstalige Belgen. Die heb ik nog niet op de site gezien. Ik denk dat ze vooral de Duitse Indie Media site bezoeken.
Ja.
En zich daarop richten.
Hebben jullie site nou ook een beetje viertalig? Ik bedoel, je hebt natuurlijk Nederlands en Frans, maar je hebt natuurlijk ook Engels voor al die andere mensen die geen Frans of Nederlands kunnen.
Ja, nou in principe is de taal is de site niet meertalig. Dat wil zeggen dat er de Franstalige, Nederlandstalige en Engelstalige artikels gewoon door elkaar worden gepubliceerd. En de mensen die vertalen, doen de vertaling gewoon in at your comment. En de vertaling komt er dan gewoon onderaan.
En dat werkt?
Dat werkt tot nu toe vrij goed. Zij het dat er erg weinig artikels vertaald worden.
Ja, het zijn is ook moeilijk, hè? Want het is zo vluchtig nieuws. Dan heb je een stuk van een A4'tje. Daar ben je toch even mee bezig om dat te vertalen. En voordat je het weet, een paar uur later, staat jouw stuk niet meer op de voorpagina, zeg maar.
Voilà.
Dus dan ga je ook wel op je achterhoofd krabben van, ga ik hier al mijn tijd in steken?
Nu, er zijn een aantal sites die erg bewust wel meertalig zijn. Zoals de site van Barcelona, waar je kan kiezen of je Engelstalig, in het Catalaans of in het Castillaans wilt. De site wil bezoeken. Maar daar hebben we bewust niet voor gekozen om mensen ook toe aan te zetten om Franstalige artikels te lezen of om de Franstalige toe aan te zetten om Nederlandstalige artikels te lezen.
Dat is een soort moment van een klein beetje strijd ook van jongens, doe de moeite eens voor.
Voilà.
Maar leer je niet verplicht op school Frans of Nederlands in het gehele België? Dan heb ik het over Vlaanderen en Wallonië.
Uiteraard, maar veel mensen spreken het gewoon niet erg veel. En het is zo dat er de laatste jaren de hele wetgeving in België zo is georganiseerd dat er echt wel een heel weinig contact is tussen de Nederlandstalige en Franstalige en dat er ook op politiek vlak eigenlijk weinig contact is. En dat is steeds meer en meer uit elkaar drijven. En zo,
ja, dat is op zich wel weer jammer.
Ja.
Maar goed, ik zie op de Belgische site heel veel vakbondverhaal ook, heel veel strijd. Is dat nog heel erg warm in België? Gebeurt er veel met vakbonden?
Ja, absoluut. De vakbonden zijn vrij sterk in België.
Ja. Hoe doen ze dat toch?
Ook wel gerespecteerd. Ja. Geen idee.
Nee, want in Nederland hebben we een soort poldermodel, hè?
Weinig lidgeld of zo, ik weet het niet.
Wat zeg je, sorry?
Weinig lidgeld of zo, ik heb er geen idee van.
Ja, nee, want in Nederland heb je dus de vakbond zoals FNV, maar daar kijkt iedereen een beetje met schuine ogen naar, want het is het poldermodel, het overlegstructuur met de werkgevers enzovoorts. En in België heb je dat toch niet, hè, die poldermodel?
Absoluut niet. Maar in België heb je wel het historisch gezien dat die vakbonden gegroeid zijn uit politieke partijen of gekoppeld aan politieke partijen. En op dat vlak nog altijd in slagen om erg veel mensen te mobiliseren bij acties en zo.
Ja. Want je ziet vaak op demonstraties, bijvoorbeeld ook laatst in Genua neem ik aan dat er ook vakbonden mensen aanwezig waren.
Ja.
Je hebt rode hesjes, groene hesjes en blauwe hesjes enzovoorts. Kan je daar een beetje een kort idee van geven wat het...
Groene hesjes zijn van de katholieke vakbond, de rode van de socialistische en de blauwe van de liberale vakbonden.
Mm-hmm.
Maar ik denk dat iets gelijkaardigs in Frankrijk zijn de vakbonden ook vrij sterk. En dan ja. Die toch ook al veel op straat ziet komen. Het hangt een beetje van land tot land af, denk ik. Maar in België wordt inderdaad in die media ook wel regelmatig geconsulteerd door de vakbonden of omgekeerd.
Ja. Nee, want ik vind het in Nederland een beetje slap eigenlijk. Dat vind ik zo jammer, want ik kijk altijd vol respect met zo'n Renault-sluiting bijvoorbeeld. Mm-hmm. Dat er een hele grote beweging echt de straat op gaat en het niet pikt. En we hebben nu Sabena bijvoorbeeld met ontzettend veel ontslagen. En daar gaan mensen ook picketen. En dan loopt iedereen weer te vloeken op dat ze hun vakantievlucht niet kunnen nemen. Ja. Maar ik denk dat de mensen wat verder moeten kijken dan hun driewekelijkse Spanje, jaarlijkse Spanje visite. Maar dat ze gewoon moeten kijken van waar het eigenlijk om gaat.
Ja.
Want hoe zit het nou? Je wordt ontslagen in België. Krijg je dan een goede uitkering? Of althans, kan je daar je gezin van onderhouden? Of,
Ik denk dat het ongeveer hetzelfde georganiseerd is aan Nederland. Alleen in die zin dat je... ik dacht in Nederland dat je uitkering met loop van de jaren tot een absoluut minimum wordt beperkt. En in België die uitkering wel verder doorloopt. Maar ik ben daar zelf niet echt in thuis.
Gelukkig maar, prijs jezelf gelukkig. Want het is natuurlijk geen vetpont als je je geld krijgt van de overheid. Er wordt wel vaak gezegd dat het profiteurs zijn. Maar natuurlijk wil iedereen gewoon wel wat beter wat dat betreft. We hebben straks in december hebben we dus weer zo'n eurotop. Omdat België nu een beetje de chef van Europa is. Er zijn acties gepland en demonstraties in Brussel. Heb je enig idee hoe en wat er gaat gebeuren? Dit gaat over 14 december, meen ik.
Ja, klopt. Wat er precies gaat gebeuren, dat weten wij ook niet. En de organisatie... van die manifestaties is nog volop aan de gang en heeft nog geen echte vaste vorm. Het is wel zo dat er een overkoepelende organisatie is en dat we daar ook wel mensen van in de media hebben die daar bij zijn. Dus die erg goed op de hoogte zijn van wat er georganiseerd gaat worden.
Ja, en die overkoepelende organisaties, dus er zitten vakbonden in, maar ook milieugroepen.
Ja, er zitten milieugroepen, vakbonden, een aantal onafhankelijke groepen zitten daarin. Een allegaartje van alles en nog wat eigenlijk.
Ja, ja, ja.
Ja. Dus dat is voor de top op 14 december. Nu is er eerst ook nog een informele Europese top op 19 oktober in Gent.
Mm-hmm.
En dat zal eigenlijk een eerste test zijn. Te zien hoeveel mensen er wel op de been zullen krijgen voor die...
Ja, en ik kon dat niet lezen. wat staat hier in godsnaam? No more than 6 minutes. Thank you. Oké, okay. Well, we hebben 5 minuten over dus om nog even vol te praten. Hoe vind je het hier op Hal?
Ja, het loopt hier vol met echt wel techie people. Mensen die verschrikkelijk onuitspreekbare termen uitspreken.
Allemaal jargon.
Ik ben er zelf niet zo erg in thuis. Het is voor mij allemaal maar een tool om een aantal dingen te verwezenlijken.
Een stuk gereedschap.
Een gereedschap eigenlijk.
Zoals dat in het goed Vlaams heet.
Ja.
Dat vind ik trouwens ook wel leuk hoor. Geen website, maar webstack enzovoort.
Eigenlijk zou een volledig Nederlandstalige worden. Moeten ontwikkelen.
Ja, maar er wordt gelukkig veel moeite voor gedaan. Dat betreft kun je op de Belgische In de Media site rustig goed Nederlands lezen.
Ja.
Als je over ons leest bijvoorbeeld, van wie jullie zijn en wat jullie doen enzovoort. Dan,
dat is het gewoon in het Nederlands.
Is dat heel goed in het Nederlands? Er is geen Germanisme, geen Engelse-achtige woorden en zo bij. Dat vind ik wel heel erg goed. Ja, nou hebben we nog, even kijken, 4 minuten en 30 seconden. Heb je nog iets interessants te zeggen, Harvey, of niet? Nee, helemaal niet. Nou, ik zelf ben ook een beetje divibate, vind ik zelf eigenlijk. Ik heb niet eens een computer hier. Maar het is wel heel gezellig, want je leert wel heel veel mensen kennen. En wat ik ook leuk vind, is gewoon met een hele grote groep mensen kamperen.
Ja, absoluut.
Dat is ook heel goed. En wat ik ook verbaasd van ben, is gewoon de hele goede organisatie qua toiletten. Het zijn chemische toiletten, maar die worden elke dag gereinigd enzovoort. En dan zijn ze weer klaar voor de volgende dag. Heel veel containers voor de afval. Ook zelfs voor computerafval. Dat vind ik ook heel slim. En er is een grote bar. Dat is ook heel belangrijk.
Ja, wat computerafval betreft. Ik denk dat we daar zondagavond eens in gaan snuffelen of zo. We kijken wat daarin terechtgekomen is.
Ja, ik ben
bruikbare
benieuwd.
Spullen.
Niet dat iemand weer zijn eigen monitor in elkaar slaat omdat het netwerk weer plat ligt. Hoe vaak is het nou al plat geweest? Ik geloof in ieder geval 3 keer of zo... Je hebt ook geen idee. Je bent ook niet online helemaal.
Ik ben
niet.
Absoluut niet online. Ik heb amper mailtjes gestuurd.
Ja, moet dat dan? Ben je niet een beetje op vakantie?
En ik hoorde er net ook mensen uit Italië of uit Duitsland zeggen dat ze hun hackersmeeting, hun laatste hackersmeeting gewoon volledig offline was. Omdat door het feit dat dan iedereen online was, er eigenlijk geen discussie niet meer hoor, was over.
Hadden ze online discussie of zo bedacht?
Ja, nee, ze hebben gewoon offline bedoeld. Er was gewoon geen internetconnectie op hun laatste hackersmeeting. Dat op zich wel een mooi idee.
Gewoon offline vergaderen over online zijn. Voilà. Goed, ja, wij zijn wat dat betreft een beetje klaar. Want ja, het gaat bijna regenen. Wordt er inderdaad in mijn oor fluisterd. En dat zou zonde zijn. We zien de buien aankomen. Dus we gaan langzaam naar binnen vertrekken met het materiaal. En ik neem aan dat dan Space Station 5 can take over. Is that the deal here? No? Oké, bedankt voor je verhaal. En wat is het? Indemedia.be gewoon, hè?
Ja, www.indemedia.be of belgium.indemedia.org.
Ja, gewoon indemedia.be hoor.
Voilà.
Goed, hey, bedankt en succes.
Yep.